Hi, I'm Misha Brown, and I'm the host of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop. Each episode, comedians join me to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Follow The Big Flop wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all of that crap we just love to talk about on Yo Brav. It's Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
You know, I'm so good. I was booking my European vacation today. Well, my work trip, I guess. Whatever. European jaunt I booked today. 3 weeks. I'm going to have an Eat, Pray, Love week all by myself in Italy. I mean, it's going to be amazing, Ben. So I'm in a really good place. Also, I need a GoFundMe and a second job. So anybody...
Look forward to us on OnlyFans.
Yeah. I'm going to be really into the underarm flab kink section of OnlyFans. If you guys want to jerk off to someone flapping their underarms, come find me there. Okay. It's only $100 a minute. Come on.
If their kink is watching someone walk slowly through Stockholm, then sign up to my OnlyFans.
Come that's on, what Ben. At get. Least I'm making an effort to turn people on. You're just going to walk
naked.
Slowly. You're going to walk slowly.
Walk through naked Stockholm. Through Stockholm. I'd be like, yeah.
Okay. Well, everybody, we're talking about that because we are going to Europa, all over every city in Europe. Just kidding. Just three, but still, it's a start. Okay. We're beginning actually in Los Angeles, which is not Europe at all. but they don't eat a lot.
Very European.
I hear is a European thing. I learned that on Oprah years ago. And we start in LA for the Netflix is a Joke Comedy Festival at the Kookaburra Lounge. It's a small, intimate show. We are so excited to do it. That's the start of May, LA. And then we're going to London. We are going to Dublin and we are going to Birmingham. And the tile is about to fall off my wall in case you hear a crash. We're doing that in the middle of May. So get tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, this is a video podcast. Hi, everybody on Patreon. Hi. You can get videos on Patreon or on YouTube a week later for free. Also, bonus episodes. This week, we are getting into Vanderpump Villa over on Patreon. Huge 5-episode orgy of terrible TV over there. And I think that's all the announcements I have today. We're going to start with Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, and just do a little catch up because we're skipping that recap this week. And that'll be back full time next week as we finish out Potomac.
I have a small announcement, which is that I recently was a guest on 2 different podcasts, and I would love if people go and listen to them. First, we have a newer podcast called Sisters Who Watch, which is hosted by 2 really lovely women who are sisters. And we are talking, I guested last week, the episode just went live, I think last night, and we are just sort of looking back on the season that was of Beverly Hills. But we talk about all sorts of other Bravo stuff too. So go check them out. They are so sweet and so wonderful. And then also, I was a guest on our dear friend Mary Payne's podcast, Pink Shade. We all love Mary Payne. So go check that out. And we just talk more pop culture stuff, et cetera, and like revisit like a previous episode that I did. It's sort of like a Remember When episode. It's fun. So go check out both of them on whatever platform that you listen to your podcasts.
Well, how fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to your
Thanks
own
for
show
having
today.
Me.
You're guesting on your
Thank
own
you.
Show.
Oh, yeah. Another big shout out to Watch What Crappens. I am guesting on the show that's happening right now. It's amazing.
Yeah. So here we are. Okay. So let's get into this. So Summer House, Martha's Vineyard.
A lot of emotions this episode. A lot of stuff happening.
A lot of emotions. A lot of craziness. You know, this is kind of one of those partying shows. So it's like, how much of this is just coke rage? Sorry, Summer, but I'm talking to you. And also, and which, by the way, I've had plenty of coke rage. I think that's why I see it. And I'm not mad at it. I'm just kind of jealous because, God, I miss it. I really do. being sober is overrated. I'm going to tell anybody who's thinking about it, do it still. I mean, you should probably still, if you're thinking about it, then you've got a problem. You should probably think about it. But God, sometimes watching this, I'm like, I want to yell at somebody with Summer. I just want to get pissed off and start screaming and yelling at somebody in a car and sobbing and hyperventilating. I mean, I miss those days. I really do.
You know, you can always, I mean, I'm not advocating for you to fall off the wagon, but you can always do it. And you know, maybe tonight you should do it. At crappy hour, we forgot to mention crappy hours tonight, and there's actually like a huge amount of stuff to talk about, a huge amount, especially, you know, Taylor Swift and Teresa Giudice together. So don't forget to tune in at 8:30 on the East Coast, 5:30 on the West Coast. Sorry, little plug right there. Okay, yeah, I of course am not, I don't know the Coke Rage thing. I always rely on you to point that out for me. But I believe it here now that you say it. I didn't even think about Ben, that.
It's like this. You know the rage you feel when someone kind of steps in front of you when you're both walking to the same line and
literally they feel it every day.
Technically could have that position, but they did see you coming and they didn't even care. You know the rage that you feel, even though you know it's not justified?
I know that rage.
It's like,
no, it's not. It's actually fully justified, I'd like to
but
add,
it's like,
by the way.
There's like a tiny seed of justification, but it could have also been their seat. Why should they give their seat? You know, there's part of you that knows that it's not completely unjustified. Anyway, there's part of you that knows it's a little unhinged that you're as angry as you are and you're picturing their death. That's what it's like.
That's a very good example, and I get that. I understand that. So the episode opens with Summer and Jordan still having a fight because they got really mad in the car at the end of the last episode. I don't even remember totally why, because they had a meal and Summer was talking, or then Jordan got mad at her and spoke up, and then Summer felt like she was being shut down and then it upset her, and then Jordan did it again in the car, and Summer was like, I'm allowed to be mad. If you're gonna be mad, I'm allowed to be mad too. So what it all boils down to is that she feels like Jordan, it's like okay for Jordan to go off at dinner or in a car, but when Summer does it, it's totally unacceptable. And she didn't like that. And then she also, so she's like crying to like Shanice and to what's her face?
One of those.
Jasmine.
I mean, she did this. Like, it's like hyperventilating crying, which is why I'm like, this isn't even real. And that's the, like the thing on the, and it, I don't mean it's not real that she's not really crying. I do believe that she's really crying. I just mean it's night out partying crying where it's, tomorrow she's going to feel so stupid that it feels stupid having a real conversation about something that I know was just like someone had a free baggie that they were passing around. You know, I've just been there and I've been so mortified the next day. Now she was not as mortified the next day as I think maybe she should have been, but you know, geez, Sarah,
well, so what can you do? So she says, as she's like sort of crying to Amir and to Jasmine and Shanice, she's like, I mean, like, she just like, she yells at me and like just a few hours she was crying in that bathroom and I was comforting her. So then this becomes an issue because then Jordan comes into the house and she's with Preston and Shanice comes downstairs. She's like, oh, she's like that she was comforting you and now you're mad at her. And then she's like, I can't believe she would weaponize my alopecia against me. So then it becomes that. And Jordan is just,
and
like,
I have to
furious.
The show because we have not seen anybody accuse anybody else of weaponizing alopecia.
That's a new frontier.
I mean, that's to give us something new on Bravo is quite a feat. And they've done it. They have done it.
So then they eventually, the next day, they do sit down and they talk and they clear the air. And Summer's like, oh, but I didn't say any details. I just said you were crying in the bathroom and I was there for you. And Jordan's like, yeah, but that's a violation of my trust. Like, you shouldn't have said anything.
Oh,
even that
up.
Was too much.
Shut
that was ridiculous up. To me. I'm sorry. Like, that's not right. Okay. Like, because it's okay to, like, I think it's fine to say she was having an emotional moment and I was comforting her. And that's that. It doesn't have to be anything more than that. I think it's like,
I think it would be different if she was like, and she's, and I'm sitting there listening to her bitch about losing her damn hair. And you know, if it was something like that, then okay. If she was like calling her daddy Warbucks or something like that, I mean, that would be one thing. But I think just saying like she was crying and I was comforting her is a little much.
I think that's like, it's okay. And I think that like Summer was, I think that's actually a valid frustration. If you feel like, hey, I'm like going on my way to like comfort this person and be there for them. And then they pop off on me at dinner. It's like really unfair. And I think that like, that's like a valid building block into whatever she's feeling, even if it is built on Coke rage or not. And I just think that that was like, Jordan, you can't do that. I don't think that's fair.
I was surprised that Summer was acting like, I was surprised that Summer was getting so annoyed and pissy with Jordan after she knew that Jordan was crying. I mean, that's what I was saying last week. I mean, listen, Jordan was just in the bathroom telling you something very real that's going on with her and crying. And then now you're going to be all over her ass at dinner about how she's treating you at dinner. Because listen, Jordan has an air of bitchiness about her. I think sometimes like she's got kind of like a holier than thou thing. I think sometimes with her friends, and I can get being annoyed with that. I don't think she was being like that at this dinner. I think she was being fine at the dinner. I don't think she did anything wrong. I think, you know, Summer didn't like, she felt like she was called out in front of everybody, but it wasn't that bad. I didn't think it was that bad. So I was just confused by the whole thing.
Yeah, I actually don't really remember the dinner, even though I watched it and I watched the flashback from last episode. I don't even remember what they were talking about. But either way, I mean, it was a
Summer was
fight.
Jumping in, trying to defend Jasmine because she's like, well, at least Jasmine brought up that she was going to bring Mariah. And then why is it that big of a deal? And then they were like, but it is a big deal. She's like, okay. And she kind of backed off. And then she's like, well, why'd she get upset with me at dinner that it was such a big deal? And I was like,
right, I think, oh yeah.
It started like flying out of control when the person who was being unreasonable at the dinner was kind of Bria. I mean, really, at the end of the day. She's like, oh, you had a secret plane ticket? And now it's a big secret conspiracy to come after me with Mariah? Who
I'm leaving.
Attacked me with a sock? And then it just started going cuckoo, cray, cray. But Summer is the one who got the most upset. So even Bria is like, oh, Jesus, now I have to have this fight with everybody again because Summer's spinning out of control. So then Bria tries it again today. Well, not tries it. She does it. She fully commits to it today.
Yeah, Bria does it again because they wind up having like this emotional, unexpectedly emotional dinner all together because everything, there's a lot of tension in the house. And so after this whole discussion with Summer, Jordan is still like just very quiet and she's like quiet throughout the day and like there's stuff on her mind. And so Alex, the great emotional connector, he's like, hey, Summer.
He's basically Yanla.
Jordan. Yeah. He's like, Jordan, I notice you've been quiet. Is it that you're in awe of my cousin, John Legend? Or do you have something going on?
Jordan, if I had to describe you as music right now, because I think in chords, I would describe you as a minor chord, Jordan. Is there any reason you're playing in minor today? She's like, what? He's like, I'm just so used to your energy being one way. But now it's another way. And I know Alex thinks he's being all sensitive, but it is kind of the equivalent of being like, you know what, Toots, you should smile more, is what I'm getting from him.
So she's like,
if you'd smile a little, Toots.
Yeah. And so she's like, you know, I just have a lot on my mind. You know, I'm thinking about my dad. I don't know how much time I have with my dad. I lost my mom when she was young. It makes me think about time I had to take on. She was a single. She's the only, like, a single only child, and so then I took on her parents, and I'm losing my hair, and this is my identity, and it's just, like, a lot on my mind, da 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 da. So it's like, she has, like, a nice sort of confessional moment, and then Alex goes, I just learned more about you in the past 2 minutes than I did all of last summer. Which is kind of like, that may be on you, sir, actually. Maybe you need to ask questions.
Doing that whole, like, shaming somebody, like, oh, we just haven't been close because you're just so closed off. What the fuck are you talking about? What have you ever talked about except who you want to fuck or your music collective, which is you're only doing to try and fuck other people? Like, who are you acting like you're Mr. Depth in here? And nobody, we're not auditioning for you to fucking like us, Alex, fucking weirdo.
I know. And I think it's just like, why do you have to make that point in that moment? Why is that the salient thing to mention? And you're sort of making it about you also. Like, I guess he's trying to say, like, thank you for opening.
To be paying attention to you is like a gift. He's like, wow, I care about you. You're welcome.
I think he's actually trying to prove his thoughtfulness in that moment. And his sensitivity, because, you know, he's basically saying, thank you for opening up and being vulnerable with me. I feel like I just learned more about you than I did all of last year. And, like, thank you for letting down your guard. Mitch is like, it sounds like that's a compliment, but it is, like you said, it's actually just shaming her for, like, not sharing more. And she's just like, fuck you. She's like, yeah, actually, that's on you that you didn't know that, because you came at me really crazy. Like the first night you said I was toxic, and we have a flashback to that. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that, when he was like, oh, I bet Jordan's the toxic friend. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
And then just all his bullshit from last season.
And then she was standing up for her friend, Shanice, because then we get into the whole drama of Shanice. So Shanice was a stalker of her boyfriend, who is an actor on HBO, some show on HBO. Not some show. I just forget
that. I think it was Insecure.
Yeah, it was a big show. He had like a show,
a small part or something.
For a second. So he was on that. And so he broke up with her. And apparently he accused her of stalking. So that was in the papers right when the season started. The papers. The blogs, right when the season.
Isn't the rise.
Show your age much? My God. There was an old man screaming about it on a street corner, right across from a preacher. It was crazy, crazy days, those.
Extra, extra, Shanice is talking to a guy on HBO. Read all about it. A group of
teenagers started dancing and doing splits in the airs while wearing suspenders and adorable little hats, and informed the entire house. She was a stalker. So what's her buns? Jordan was just sticking up for her friend because he was telling the whole house that she was a stalker. And so he's like, wait a minute. That wasn't even me that said that. That was Nick.
And Nick is like, what? Throw
Nick under the bus about calling Shanice a stalker. And then they're like, well, we were just all talking about Shanice being a stalker because, these little boys in a musical sung a whole song about it. And then Shanice is like, I was traumatized by being a stalker. How could you call me a stalker? How could you? And then she starts sobbing, and now she's re-traumatized because whenever anybody Googles her, it comes up that she was stalking. And I just have to say, I know that's got to suck, but hey, at least they're going to Google you now, and it's going to say worst dressed. Hug your cast.
I love the way she talked about it too, because she was saying how basically there was like a lawsuit, and she was cleared and everything, and so in her interview she was like, you know what, like I was dating this guy, and you know, he accused me of stalking, so you know, it happened, and now da 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 da. She was like, you know, the stalking happened. And, you know, now I'm just trying to put together my life again.
She says it's not true, but I'm with you that she's not very clear about it.
But didn't last season I thought she said that she did. She was like, well, I did get like a little crazy. But she said, though, that she did remind us that this guy in retaliation sent out like revenge porn, which is like, which is totally like, that's not only is it illegal, but like that's so wrong. And even though she is obviously very comfortable with being naked, like that's on her terms, and it's not for someone else to release the photos. I don't know why I'm giving a lesson on like the ethics of revenge porn, just in case there's someone out there who's just about to press the button and is like, wait a second, thank God I listened to Watch What Crappens. I'm not gonna send out that revenge porn.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. I'm your host, Shimo Liai, and I was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now, I'm returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, 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 where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.
He is suing her now because he lost in court. It was dismissed. So now he's suing her for $20,000 because she supposedly stalked him, to which I say sue his ass for $500,000 for releasing revenge porn, because that's bullshit and he could actually go to jail for that. So I would up sue on him, stupid ass, and sue him.
I would sue him for just coming up with an insultingly low number for a lawsuit. Like, excuse me. I'm on television. You should be trying to extort more money out of me. How dare you say I'm only worth $20,000?
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you gotta, you know, set what you can get. You just
make realistic goals.
Make realistic goals, yeah. It's not like a prescription company. You can't be like, I was stalked and I'm suing for $8 trillion.
You're like, well, I'm gonna see what I can get from this rock. But that being said, I love that Shanice was like, fuck you, Alex, you traumatized me. I was like, I'm so glad she said that, because he just says these things and he does these things that he just assumes, like, oh, no one's going to care. Like, he just goes through life that way. You see with Noelle, who I love Noelle, and she's like crying all episode because she's so mortified by the way Alex, you know, treated her. And I just love that Shanice was like, you know, fuck you. You traumatized me. So then, of course, he's like, can I give you a hug? I'm like, oh, God, this guy's the worst.
Yeah, that guy sucks. And I'm glad he was trying to, like, have a look, America, look how sensitive I am talking to the women. And then they were both like, fuck off, Alex.
And then meanwhile, by the way, he like was also exclusive with church invites, because they like, he went and like knocked on some people's door and was like, like, hey, you want to go to church? But then didn't invite Noelle or Bria. And this is the guy who's trying to, like, who was already in an argument earlier this season about not inviting people to his music collective. And now he's not going to invite people to church. He's going to pick and choose who gets to go to church.
Oh, gosh. Now I'm reading a What Shanice Actually Did With This Actor article. Why do I Google during the podcast? Because now I've got this whole other side of Shanice and I shouldn't have Googled, because I like her. And so I don't want to, like, diss her on this, but... Someone posted on Reddit, Shanice's behavior towards her ex is wildly concerning. If you haven't seen the evidence of Shanice's stalking posted by her ex, here's a link. This girl is straight up dangerous. I'm sorry, but that happened when I was 28 is not an excuse, especially when she's 29. That line alone is worth the Google, because that shit's hilarious.
That was back when I was 28.
How old are you?
29.
So there's a whole post. I won't go into the whole thing because it's neither here nor there. It is in her past. And she's just like, fuck you for bringing it up. Now, look, I get the whole thing and how it's traumatized you and everything else. But I think also who you're yelling at, by the way, I'm not saying don't yell at Alex. Fuck that guy. Also who you're yelling at is reality TV, because you came on reality TV after kind of, I don't know, being accused of stalking an actor. Did you think it was not going to come up? I mean... Hello, you're on Bravo. What do you think is going to happen?
You know what, though? I think that it came up through such a... the fact that it came down through a fuckboy channel is what was so surprising. Maybe that's what she truly wasn't expecting. I think maybe she was expecting it to be thrown in her face in some sort of, like, cat fight. But for it to be this...
John Legend a few times is really embarrassing.
A guy who's, like, part of a music collective and considers himself soulful, and he looks at, like, the deeper parts of, like, you and the cosmos, and yet he's still petty enough to, like, Google you and be like, oh, she's a stalker, gross.
Well, it's by him and then the guy in a straw hat who wears, like, matching bands on his straw hat to his shirt. So that's who's coming after you. So, I mean, I can get it. I get the pain. It hurts.
Yeah, and so the last big thing that happened was, so finally Jasmine revealed to us that she is in fact pregnant and she's expecting, which is the same thing. I don't know why I said it like that, but
she's not pregnant, only a baby,
not expecting.
She is expecting a tiny version of Silas. So
she did order something from Amazon, so she's expecting something.
The first baby to speak at 1 day old to complain about the meal it's getting.
The first baby to actually demand its mother iron.
It's the first baby to come
swaddle,
demanding that his mother do drop and give him 20. Yeah, she's going to have her baby, and we get to see her on the phone with Silas, which is super exciting, talking about the baby. And she's like, everyone knows. What should I do? I guess I should tell everybody. No one cares. And that's what makes me feel so bad for her. Everybody already knows. They don't care. You know?
They don't. So yeah. Then Bria at this dinner, Bria decides that she wants to have a moment too. Oh, because Bria hasn't seen Simon in a long time. And so they had a phone call where he's trying to get flights. And he's like, I tried to look for flights, but they're all double the price now. And she goes, no, I can find it cheaper. No, baby, I just had a 14-hour workday and I come home and I'm angry now. He was like,
yeah, she's like, come on, like, I'm going to look. And he goes, oh, you don't believe me now? Like, I'm not telling you the truth that I just worked on a watch for 14 hours? Really?
You know, the expression is even a broken clock is right two times a day, but I don't have broken clocks. I work with watches. How could you say those things to me?
And Bria's like, well, dick withdrawal is a real thing. I was like, even when it's that dick? Like, seriously, that's what you're thinking? Listening to this man being like, oh, you don't believe me about the airline flight? I can't believe you're talking to me like that, Bria. That's who you want to fuck right now, really? That is like the most unfuckable situation we're talking about, right? He's coming off as so unfuckable right now.
I know. The man who pulled up last season in like a Lambo to be like, yeah, I am German and I am wealthy, is now like, no, plane tickets are now at $1,200 instead of $1,000.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was cackling to that.
Know, dick withdrawal is real. You know what they should invent? They should invent a way that you can have sex with your partner even when you're not with them, and then like see them fully naked and everything. Whoever does that's going to be rich. I was like, oh my God, it's called your hand and FaceTime. Like, seriously? Where's my money?
I know. Pink wrote a whole song about it. It's called You and Your Hand. So anyway, so at dinner, while everyone is being emotional, she's like, okay, well, I need to be honest with myself, which is that I don't want Mariah here. I can't even walk by a sock anymore without being re-traumatized. So I have to be true. I was trying to be the bigger person, but I cannot have Mariah here. Jasmine, I hope you understand that. So then Jasmine's like, I'm trying to understand. I'm frustrated, but I'm not mad at you. I'm just frustrated. I'm not mad at you. I'm just extremely livid at you, and I never want to see your face again, but I'm not mad at you. I hear you. I just detest you from the depths of my soul right now. That's all.
Yeah, Bria does not give a shit. She's going to have this big, huge scene no matter what, and she's not getting away with having a scene because she keeps getting upstaged. The first time they talked down, the second time Shanice took over, and the third time she's like, fuck it, then Mariah just can't come. She's not even mad at Mariah. She's just mad that she hasn't been able to have her scene, and she has to keep
playing
the Annie every time she starts a scene. So now she's saying Mariah can't come, and if this doesn't work, next time she's going to be like, you know what? I've decided I'm murdering all of you at this table. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. She's just trying to elevate it for her scene, and hopefully she's finally getting enough. Because Mariah, she didn't deserve this. I mean, you're really villainizing her to the point where this is not cool at this point. Yeah,
Mariah only got kicked out because of Phil, where they just decided it had to be all equal, all aggressions needed to be, you know, excised.
And that's not
so then,
because all sins are not the same. And what she did, quote unquote, what she did was very light compared to what he did. And it's not cool to villainize someone to this point on national television. And I mean, it's not good. And so they need to cut this shit with Mariah. Also, last week, Phil was not pointing a gun at Preston. I don't know why I said that.
I thought he was.
Oh, I thought I said it. He was pointing a tequila bottle, I guess, at him, like a gun.
Like a gun.
And saying, we're doing shots and I don't want anybody to be a pussy, or whatever he said to. I don't even think he said that word. I think he just said, like, I don't want anyone to be a wussy about it. And Preston's like, the disrespect, I was bullied as a child, which I think is also a bit ridiculous. But, you know, Phil was a piece of shit. But God, he was a funny piece of shit.
That would make more sense, because I was like, it's crazy they allowed him to point a gun at someone.
Yeah, people are
it's a tequila bottle.
Just while we're accusing somebody of being a little bit overdramatic in their accusations last week, I'm like, and then Phil brought in a machine gun against
guys. Don't Brett. Listen to us for facts, okay? But also,
Preston just got engaged, so congrats to Preston.
Oh, congratulations to Preston.
Yeah.
So anyway, the whole episode ended with Jasmine crying, like, "I'm going through a lot right now." So a surprise contender for the "I'm going through a lot right now" Olympics that are happening on the show, and Jasmine has thrown her hat in the ring. So we will see how it all.
I love a show about people on a vacation for 3 weeks that is all paid for in a mansion are literally crying every day about how much they're going through. Oh, America. I love our modern world. Okay. Hilarious. So back in my day, I had to go to a well for water. Actually, I was thinking today how it is like pioneer days where I had to go to the well for water, because every day I drink this gigantic jug of water, this gallon thing of water from Hydro Jug. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Hydro Jug.
Ding!
Oh. But I drink this every day. And so I have to sit there at the refrigerator thing every morning and just, it's like going to the well. I have to sit there and fill this fucking thing. It takes forever. You press the little handle. It's like.
Oh, I wouldn't be able to. My fridge is slow with the water. Yeah.
Mine too. I have to sit there and wait for the water to fill up. And I literally was thinking today, it feels like Little House on the Prairie.
Did you feel like a connection with Amir on Summer House when he said, "I can't buy my Hydro Jug"?
Oh, I didn't even hear him say that. That's funny.
Yeah. He was like looking around in his room. It was just one of those like Summer House cutaways where he's like, "I can't buy my Hydro Jug."
That's funny.
I timed it. It takes me 45 seconds to fill up the pint glass from my fridge's water thing, which I think that's probably
a lot. That's why people are dying from lack of water, because their refrigerators are so slow.
I'm going through a lot right now, guys.
Guys, we're going through a lot. Okay, so that was Summer House. Full recaps coming back next week. Okay, now let's move on to Real Housewives of Potomac. This was a very sad is fine. I was going to try and mix gratifying with sad, but then it came to satisfying. I guess satisfying if it was spelled with a D. Satisfy. It was satisfying. Because both Candace and Robin, this was their final farewell. Have to say, guys, I did not think, "Oh, that sucks," as I watch this. I thought they were going to pull out some kind of performance that's really going to make us go like, "Oh, you guys can't leave the show." But I was like, bye. By the end of this, even though I've liked them both at different times, Robin came out on her podcast today or yesterday and confirmed the news and said, "Yes, I will not be returning for season 9 of Real Housewives of Potomac." She said it was not her own decision. Today.com has reached out, but hasn't heard back. She says, "This reality, the network did not invite me back. I was fired, for lack of better words. I will not sugarcoat the situation and say, 'Oh, I'm walking away and this is a break,' or anything like that. It was a network decision. I want
to respect
the network and respect the show and wait until the season ended."
Well, I respect her for not doing the typical thing. I'm saying, like, "I just decided I want to pursue other interests. You know, just embellish is just taking over too much time." I respect that she's like, "Yeah, I got fired." Candace, meanwhile, her announcement today is that she's pregnant. So there's that.
What? Oh, wow. I didn't see that.
We can talk about it more at Crappy Hour.
Is there more to say?
I felt like, no, there isn't. Honestly, I kind of was like, what else?
She's pregnant. Congrats.
Yeah. No, that was the big news. So that is actually really amazing for her. And you know what? She deserves a pregnancy without having to deal with the bullshit on this show. So, anyway, the episode.
Well, I hope that people at least call back and maybe leave her some like tweets with quotes she had about Ashley's pregnancy while that was going on. That'll be fun. But yeah, you know, all housewifery said and done. Good for her. You know, in real life, good for her. And
yeah, that baby. IRL, good for her. And it's an IRL BFH.
Congrats to Dot, who's going to have someone new to terrorize.
You know? Yeah. So last week there was a cliffhanger where Gordon was like, "I want to, you know, like everyone, there's something that many of you may have suspected, but many of you probably didn't know." So it was like, okay, what's it going to be? What's it's going to be like? I'm back at work at the joint. That's what I thought it was going to be. But it wound up being a pretty serious topic. He basically reveals that he has been diagnosed with bipolar. Is it bipolar disorder? Do we not say disorder anymore? I don't know what it is. But he says that he's actually bipolar 1, and that like if he could have been like bipolar 2, 3, 4, 5. He would have been all of those. He's just like super, super bipolar.
Yeah. I've never heard this discussed like that. I'm like, oh my God, guys, I got the blood test back. I'm bipolar. I've never heard it discussed like this, but everybody is acting like it's I don't know how to describe it. Have you ever heard somebody talk about it like this? Like, well, guys, we figured out.
I actually don't know if I have.
I have a very close friend who is bipolar too. So I've had a lot of discussions about bipolar and what it means and a lot of that with them, but I've never heard it discussed like, wow, I finally found it. I've just discovered I'm bipolar. Everyone's like, oh my God, the bravery. So they start talking about that. And basically they start talking about it like, wow, that's so heroic that you're discussing this on TV. Bipolar is kind of this is tricky, isn't it? I hear myself talking and I don't like it. But I'm just going to continue.
You're going through a lot right now.
I'm going to continue because I'm not saying it's not a big deal or fuck him or, you know, whatever. I'm just saying there's almost like a level of shame about it. Like everyone's like, I can't believe you're discussing bipolar. Where I guess I've always thought of it as just kind of another diagnosis that
I feel like we're trying to move into a direction where we're destigmatizing mental health, where if someone says, I have bipolar, it's the same as saying something like, oh, it turns out I have lupus. And no one would be like, oh, you know, I mean, people would be like, oh, I'm sorry you're going through that. But like, you know, when you, with other medical diagnoses, we say, oh, okay, you have that. Like, oh, this is something that I have. And I think we're trying as a society to be like less, just not stigmatizing it. Because I think, I'm assuming what you're trying to say is that by talking about you're so brave for saying that, whatever, it actually implies that actually this is taboo and this is shameful that you have it. And the fact that
right.
you're coming
it's
out to announce it.
To me, it's implying that it's this shameful, horrible thing that when I think of it as kind of not average, but I mean, I've heard of it a lot. I mean, it's something that people go through and I think that people watching this might be like, well, damn, you know, I didn't realize it was this bad. But anyway, they start discussing the bipolar disorder. And he's talking about how it fucks with you and it makes you think certain things are going on when they're not necessarily going on. Like you get furious with other people sometimes thinking everyone around me is slow and this isn't me. This is everybody else. And he is seeing now that he knows what it is, he can see episodes kind of throughout his entire life where he can attribute them to that.
Mm-hmm. And then and Andy's asking, can you see it coming when it sets in? And Gordon says he can't, but Mia can. And he says the people around him can see it. But the question is whether or not when they warn him that can he take it in? Can he understand it? And Gordon's basically like, you know, before our separation, she was warning me, she was telling me, and I just didn't listen. So, but now you know. He's talking about that. And then Andy's like, well, when you reached out to the other gentleman and you were texting them about what happened in your marriage, he's like, yeah, I was deep in mania and it was like an exaggerated frustration and anger. And Andy goes, and when you locked me in the room, and he's like, locked her in the room. He's like, yeah, you locked her in a room and took her cell phone. He's like, oh, I did not remember that I did that.
Yeah, this whole scene is so fucking weird to me. I don't know what to say about it, except that it's just weird. He doesn't remember. That's not what bipolar is, where you just, as far as I know, where you just black out and forget things that you lock somebody in a room. That's, I don't understand what's going on here. So Andy's like, are you medicated? Is there medication that can help? And he goes, there is medication I can take, but it's important to do the work, like to continue to do the work yourself. I'm like, but you need to take those medications. I mean, that's very important to take the medication. That I do know. And so he's saying he doesn't remember locking in the room, which is weird. And then he's like, but that's what happens. You don't remember everything. So I'm not saying I didn't. I'm just saying I don't remember. And he says, well, do you believe she was having an affair? And he's like, during the marriage, yes. The duration of it, no. Let me just say this. Mia has been absolutely wonderful. And you can say, why would you say that when all this other stuff is happening? Well, I forgive her and she forgives me. And I believe that I had gotten control of this manic behavior, Mia would still be with me.
And he says, I don't think she left me because she wanted to be with someone else. She left me because she just couldn't take this anymore. And he's like, right. But also maybe she wanted to be with someone else. So
there is an edge to this, and I'm glad someone finally said it, because he's very much like, everybody, don't worry. Mia did not leave me because I'm poor. She left me because I'm ill. So let's all lighten up on Mia. Okay.
I know. I'm like, also she wasn't getting that deed, and that was also discussed. So so they're like crying and everything, and he says that like things were really, really so bad for him. So he was feeling so low, he checked himself into a hospital. And Mia showed up the next morning and took care of him and like showed up every day except for one day and got him a change of clothes. And, you know, he lived 70 miles away. It was like just talking about that she went above and beyond. And she, you know, Giselle's like, well, it seems like Mia, like you've been committed to making sure that he's okay. So what about Gordon? What's the path moving forward for Gordon?
Yeah. And, basically, she's like, I'm going to take care of Gordon forever. And Giselle's like, so you're going to still take care of him? And she goes, yeah, I'm forever going to take care of Gordon. And Gordon's like, I appreciate it, but I'm good now. And I understand my illness and I understand how to control it. And so Andy's like, wow, congratulations on being so brave. And they're like, yes. You know, it's a very feeling moment. I'm feeling really uncomfortable with my own discussion on
Well, don't day. Worry. Just, you made it through. It's over.
I know whatever I said was problematic. I feel it. I'm not going to cut it because I really don't understand even what I'm saying, except, you know, there's no shame, obviously, in the mental illness. That's what I was trying to get at. Like, he shouldn't be ashamed. This whole thing's just coming off weird to me. I don't know what to say. It's just weird. They're a weird couple. Okay.
They are. I mean, this is the least of the strange things between them. And this is not even strange. So Andy's like, well, it's brave of you to be so open about this. And I think it's so beautiful, the relationship that you do have. And clearly there's a lot of love. And wow, I think you made a commitment to not only him, but like, I think about what a great mom you are, Mia. And, you know, and giving your children something that you wanted for your kid. If you want to cry right now, please cry, and while you're sobbing about this beautiful moment in your marriage, let me ask you, what's going on with the new boyfriend? How big's his dick? I got any dick pics? Want to show it to me? Come on now. I want to see ink.
I think that's kind of, like, hearing you just talk about it, I think that's what's getting me, is just, like, how good Mia is at this. Like, I have to give Mia some credit here. Mia married Gordon. She married some rich guy she met in a strip club, right? He loses his money. She's immediately fucking out of there. And I'm just saying what we've seen as an audience, okay? He loses his money. She's out of there. She's fucking some other guy. Then we find out she's been fucking him since before they were even married and still went to marry Gordon just because he was rich. And she's still getting off at the end of this by being the most sympathetic person on the stage. I mean, it's well done. It's well done.
It is well done.
Very well.
So Gordon has a good relationship with, or a cordial relationship with Ink. I mean, we saw that earlier. And, you know, Gordon concedes that he did things to push Mia away. And, but like, he knows that she still loves him. And his relationship with his family is like much better now. And everything's like on the up and up. And he's like, I understand why my brothers and sisters kicked me out of CEO, because I was in a manic phase and all the lawsuits are dropped. And like, it seems like actually everything, if we are to believe him, although, you know, with these two, it's hard to know what to believe, what not to believe. But it sounds like he's righted the ship and he's going down a good path now.
Yeah. So, and he still has his shares, by the way. That's the important part.
Yeah.
He does not have the job anymore of being CEO or whatever he was, co-CEO, but he does still have his shares.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So, and he's like, wow, what a beautiful story. Steak, anyone? Kidding. Okay, let's move over to NECA. So now we start talking about NECA's being the new girl in Potomac this year. But as her friendship with Dr. Wendy rapidly went south, the group was sifting through enough drama to warrant another unpacking party where everybody was supposed to show up at her house and unpack her ship for free, even though they didn't really know her that well. Wow, what nuts. What nuts that took.
Lots to clarify, but first, Ronald from McDonald's says, I hope you never go back to that OB we saw. He was very dismissive of your concerns. I was like, whoa, the doctor taking a stray at the reunion. And he's like, well, what's going on right now with your baby? So NECA says that the IUI, which, by the way, a lot of confusion last week, IUI, we clarify that Mia was talking about... IUI. Wasn't Mia, right, who was talking about it, right? We said I was the one who promoted that. She said IUD, and it was an IUI. Totally different concept.
Yeah,
totally
it was Mia thing. Who was talking. Yes, because we were talking
so, about yes, how does acknowledge
know if she was pregnant with Gordon's child right. or not. And I thought she had been artificially inseminated. And
which is,
we thought it right. was called, I think I was calling it IVU or something, and you were calling it IUDs
it was,
or whatever.
And I was like, no, IUD, must not IUV, IUD, and then it was a disaster. So thank you for everyone who corrected us. But also, so, anyway,
the answer to that, from what I learned, is it was an artificial insemination, meaning they put the sperm in there, but if she had been messing around with this other guy, then he still could have gotten his little fighters in there. And they could have still had a chance. So that's why there was a question. So everybody, thank you for all the explanations of the human body.
Yeah. It's hard when there's all these acronyms that start with IU. So
IUD, like a weapon, like a
bomb. Interuterine device. I'm not even going to say what it is at this point because I'm going to say something wrong. But it is.
No,
it
that's is, an IED, an improvised explosive device.
It's not. This is a CBDM, whatever it is, ballistic missile. I don't know.
IUD is a type of long-acting reversible contraception that provides birth control for 3 to 10 years. Wow.
Yeah. So that's what I thought was what was happening, which is why I was confused by things last week. I don't even know what a vagina is. I thought it was a car for many years. So... So I'm really not an expert on this.
Okay, so
the Toyota vagina.
NECA, she didn't yield results from what we guys saw when her husband was spooging in the doctor's office, which, by the way, is just how it is. People also told us that. They're like, yeah, that's normal. You need the fresh sperm. So the husband goes right in and serves it up on a platter. That's how it works. So she's trying IVF now. And Andy's like, okay, Santa from Francisco says, Karen, can you explain the difference between North Potomac and Potomac? And Karen's like, Andy, let's be clear. Her mouth is going to walk away with her at this point. Her mouth is moving more than ever. Her mouth is a different person. It's a person on top of a person.
That's probably why she has to say let's be very very clear so often, because she's like, well, you know, I understand my lips are moving in many different directions, so my words get mangled, so let me be very clear about this. The part that NECA lives in is North Potomac, and I thought it was my responsibility to those who may be visiting the county to show where North Potomac is in relation to East, West, South, and Central. That's all.
And he's like, what part of Potomac are you in? And Ray's like, Central. She's like, thank you, baby. Thank you. Well, thank you, baby. She looks like she's talking under a strobe light. You know when they use strobe lights on stage and it makes people look like they're
Yes.
It's a video exclusive. Okay, so she's like, thank you, baby. Okay, well, Ashley, Starcasm wants to know if you can... Oh, sorry.
Ashley from Starcasm.
Yes. Go for it. I quit.
Ashley from Starcasm wants to know if you can tell us about your time in Wisconsin. Wow, what an interesting question to ask that I'm sure was on top of so many people's minds. Tell us.
NECA cannot win, I'm telling you. Well, maybe she can. She's not, though. She's not winning. That's bad when people are like, hey, you know what, NECA? Here's a burning question from the audience. Let's talk about Wisconsin.
Hey, you know, there's a top chef there right now, right, NECA? You rec? Okay. All right. Ashley from Starcasm has a follow-up question, which is, hey, do you recognize that restaurant that was on last week's Top Chef? Because you live there, right?
Oh, by the way, worst Top Chef season in a while. Sorry. Had to be said.
I like it. These chefs suck.
Everybody's going to make a fucking, what were the balls that they were making?
Oh, geez, what were the, yes. They all made croquettes. They all fried croquettes. And then they all are actually kind of bad. I do enjoy the guy from Wisconsin only because his accent is hilarious. He talks like this. He's like, well, what I'm making today for you right now is like a cheese and a cheese sauce. Yeah.
And I love that we talked about Wisconsin. A couple people were like, come on, guys, I'm from Wisconsin. Stop being stereotypical. A, hello, this is Watch What Crappens, duh. But B, they're totally stereotypical on this show. Every challenge, you're like, guess what we're making today, guys? Something with cheese. Hey, you know what we love here? Cheese. Hey, we're going to have some boiled meat and cheese. Here's the boiled meat and cheese challenge. Go for it. It's like, come on now. Really? You're giving cheese curds as an ingredient?
I was really sad. Honestly, I have been missing Padma, like, especially this past week when they did a challenge out at, like, a farm in the blazing sun. And so this episode, Gail had, like, a farmer's tan that she couldn't. She had, like, a big red farmer's tan. And you just knew Padma would have been just staring at it, like, amateur. Gail, you understand cheese is not the same thing as suntan lotion. Stop spreading it on your chest.
Yeah, I think Kristen's doing a good job. It's just, it's missing it's missing something. I don't know if it's
personality.
I think it's just a weird season. I'm just not loving the season.
I think Kristen's doing a good job. I think Kristen's doing a functionally good job. She's good at, like, she's fine on camera. She has expertise with food. But if you ask me what is Kristen's personality, you literally could not tell me what it is. Like, what is Kristen? And I think that is the downfall.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Gail is a lot different without Padma. Gail's like way like more highfalutin, and also she stopped wearing patterns. Did you notice that? I wonder if all these
she was wearing Amanda's outfit.
I think all of her terrible patterns have been some kind of like speaking out against Padma in some way. And then now that Padma's gone, she's just like, I don't need patterns anymore. Like Gail has stopped relying on the crutch that is terrible patterns, and she's just showing up in solids. It's the weirdest thing. And she's acting like, oh, well, I didn't like it because I'm like, well, Gail, who are you even? Like, she's a whole different person now without Padma there.
She was wearing, on Summer House, Amanda has an interview look where it's like a blazer, and then one part of the blazer is like over her shoulder, and there's like a strap. And Gail wore that this week to like the Frank Lloyd Wright challenge where they had
why are we talking about Frank Lloyd Wright for an hour and looking at architecture and people going, oh my god, Ross Stone, that is amazing. This is a fucking cooking show. Cook something. What's this?
Padma did the last thing I'll say about it is that Padma put up a video on her Instagram yesterday where she was like interviewing her daughter about slang, and she's like, why can't I say the slang? And her daughter's like, because you're old, mom. She's like, but wait, why can't, what about sus? Can I say the word sus? And she's like, no, mom. But she goes, but it's short for suspect. What if I need to say suspect, but I don't have enough time to say the entire word? I can't do this anymore, daughter.
Do I have the riz? Just tell me I have the riz. Am I bussing?
Mother. We'll talk more about Padma later tonight.
I do an arm dance on TikTok.
There's actually some Padma news that we are probably going to cover tonight on Crappy Hour. Okay. So I'm going to put
where they don't care about that here. And I started it. I'm so sorry. Okay, so.
Wow.
Wisconsin. That's who started it. Wisconsin. So we found out that Wendy is actually from Wisconsin. Or maybe we knew and I just forgot. And I literally still don't care. I don't care. I'm trying to. I just don't. You can't just tell me somebody's interesting. They have to actually be interesting. Not buying it. How have we not gotten an announcement about NECA leaving yet? What's next, right?
Well, I just, you know what? I actually, oddly enough, I want NECA to stay because I feel like she's been done so dirty by the show. I know you have a very good theory, which is like, you're not funny. She's not funny enough in her interviews, which I think is really damning. And I cannot fight you on that. And I agree. But I also think they just do her so dirty.
Hello there. This is a two-part recap. Okay. This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurtz.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trott.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We forever love Ava.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a can, and Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.